Good morning, Bucknoters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning Five here on Wednesday, June 17th, 2026. I am Dave Biddle, very happy to be joined by Ben Koo. He is the owner and editor of awfulannouncing.com. He's also a very proud Ohio State alumnus. Ben, welcome to the show, my friend.
Dave, thanks for having me on. And, you know, all the things that I got into in life professionally probably doesn't happen if I don't start writing recruiting articles and other articles on Bucknuts in 2006. So a little bit of a butterfly effect is do I even make this career jump into media if I don't start doing some writing on Bucknuts in 2006?
20 years ago. Time flies when you're having fun. I tend to think you would have been successful no matter what. But yeah, that is interesting thinking about that. 20 years ago. Wow. All right. We're going to bounce around a lot on the show today. We're going to talk a lot of Ohio State football. But I want to start off with the Sorsby situation and then push it forward and talk about the future of college football. Then Ben and I are going to get into some Buckeye discussion as far as this coming season. All right. I know you have some strong feelings about Cody Campbell and this whole situation. Go.
Yeah, well, I'll just say, and I checked with Dave on my language usage, but, you know, the whole Sorsby thing, when the Texas Tech leadership group did their, like, whatever it was, like, podcast where they defended Sorsby and the gambling and all this pressure is coming down, it's like people have no shame today. Like, that is America 2026, is that the thing 5 years ago that would be very shameful and that you distance yourself from and try to, you know, appeal to the public. People are just cannot be shamed. And, you know, Cody Campbell is the head of that Texas Tech cabal. And I'm just sick of this guy. A year ago, you know, he's doing like pack ads while we're watching football, being like, we need to save college football. And I already knew this guy is trying to present himself as like a white knight. He's a billionaire whose like main thing is to be installed as like the decision maker for all of college football. He's using his political connections, his money, to, you know, to do that. And it's just like crazy to me that he's accomplished so much in terms of being influential, and, you know, that he loses a lot of credibility when he's defending Sorsby and gambling and so on. And I'm just sick of the fucking guy. I don't think, like, you know, the commissioners, Sankey and Petitti, the NCAA, I don't think those guys are good. Everyone's just trying to find money. Everyone's trying to find a little bit of extra money and not get called out by their, the alumni fans, whatever. But Cody Campbell in particular, I've just had enough of this guy.
I'm with you. And then Joey McGuire might have, all of the dumb comments coming out of Texas Tech, Joey McGuire, their head coach, might have had the dumbest when they had that podcast you mentioned, which will live in infamy on Friday, just 3 days away from finally this sordid Sorsby saga ending, so to speak. Joey McGuire came out and said on Friday, he was like, people are acting like he murdered somebody. Like, this is gambling. It's like, he didn't murder anybody. It's like, dude, we're not talking about, like, if he should be in prison right now. Obviously, if he murdered somebody, we'd be talking about him spending life in prison. We're talking about whether he could play college football. That might have been the dumbest of all the dumb comments I've heard out of Texas Tech was, come on, it's not like he murdered somebody.
Yeah, I mean, just, like, there are better hills to die on, right? Like, every once in a while, your allegiance, your business interests, whatever – You have to ride or die with certain people. And Brendan Sorsby being a prolific gambler, I don't even think he was of gambling age. There were other things wrong with his gambling other than he did it. I think he was going through people. He wasn't 21. The amount of times he did it. And it's like, just guys, like, be the adults in the room. And in the end, they did all this performative stuff, and it didn't hold. He has to go to the supplemental draft. You know, you just burn through your credibility when you die on a hill that you really didn't need to die on.
One more thing about Sorsby, then we'll move on to other topics. I've been pondering what round he's going to go in. Like, if I had to bet, no pun intended, maybe pun intended. I'm going with third. I don't think anybody's going to use a first-round pick on him. Second's a possibility. I third seems like the sweet spot for me. Second wouldn't shock me. Third, I think some team will pull the trigger in the third round. What do you think?
Yeah, I think third or fourth. I think his talent is a third round. I think a team will maybe pass. There's going to be a one-round tax because of this whole controversy. And then do you have a team that you think is like a possible landing spot for him? Like,
yeah, because a lot of the ones that might immediately come to mind, I don't think the Browns will because of what Monken said. I'm sure it's going through Jimmy Haslam's mind. But you already have Shedeur Sanders. You have Dylan Gabriel, even though I know that he don't even talk about him, even though he was a third-round pick and Shedeur was a fifth-round pick. And then they used a pick on a sixth-round quarterback this year. Yeah. I've also heard people talk about this. I don't think the Browns will, but who knows? It's Jimmy Haslam. All bets are off. Steelers. First of all, they're the type of, you know, whatever you want to say about the Steelers, I hate complimenting them as a Bengal fan. Like, that's a solid organization, and they don't usually deal with knuckleheads. And furthermore, they just, in my opinion, burned a third-round pick on Drew Aller, but they did. They used a third-round pick on Drew Aller. They have Will Howard there, as we know, sixth-round pick the previous year. And Mike McCarthy's been talking him up a lot. So I think I don't think the Steelers will. Maybe if it was a fourth-rounder or something like that, I could see the Steelers doing it. The team that comes to mind is the Cowboys. Because they really don't have a good backup quarterback. They have Sam Howell, and they have Joe Milton, strong arm Milton, a former Michigan and Tennessee quarterback. They brought those guys in. I could see them, and Jerry Jones loves the circus, right? Yeah. And no pressure on Sorsby to come in and play because you have Dak Prescott. That's the one that came to mind was the Cowboys. I could see Jerry Jones being like, let's put a third round pick on him and see if we can land him. What about you?
Falcons, Dolphins, maybe that'd be two I'd put out there. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Jeff Hafley's going to be like, really, we're going to deal with this guy. But we'll see. All right, let's move on. I'm really curious about the future of college football and what's going to happen. Do you feel like, before we get too deep into it, do you feel like we're headed for a CBA, collective bargaining agreement with the players and the universities, and they're going to be effectively employees at some point?
I think right now, all of this noise that we're seeing with this, like, Cantwell, Ted Cruz bill, they're back again. They're polishing it. They're trying to find the votes. I think they're trying to avoid any collective bargaining situation. And I think at some point they'll be successful because I think the last thing they want is, like, organized labor and, you know, having the players have a seat at the table. And I think they'll probably get something over the line at some point where they avoid that scenario. That's my thought. They're doing a terrible job getting the votes to do this. The NCAA and the conferences really did not do this at all, like, on their own. And now everyone's looking to Congress for some type of solution. And I think eventually they'll get there in some form. But I think they're really trying to avoid collective bargaining in general. I wish it would get there. I think that would be great. I think treating the players like employees, like, you know, the cat's out of the bag already at this point with the players getting all this money. And like 15 years ago, we're all shaking our heads at like the tattoo gate situation. So I think they want to continue to have as much control over the finances. And I think that, you know, with avoiding any bargaining and empowering the players, they want to continue that control. And I think they'll find some political, middle ground that the SEC, the Big Ten, more Democrats, more Republicans kind of get on board with. And that would be my guess, that somehow they'll thread the needle.
Yeah, I do think we're headed for a CBA at some point. And they will be employees. But you're right. I mean, they're definitely trying to avoid it, and they have been. But I just think we're headed for that. Not necessarily like in 2 years, maybe sometime in the 2030s. Just feels like that's where it's headed to me. Real quick, I meant to ask you about this, kind of joke about this with Sorsby. What do you want to bet Roger Goodell doesn't suspend Sorsby like he did with Terrell Pryor 15 years ago? And they suspended Jim Tressel, even though he was just like an analyst with the Colts.
Yeah,
something that looks extremely minor in retrospect with what we're dealing with today. So hopefully Goodell suspends Sorsby, since that would be consistency, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No, yeah, I don't think it's happening.
No, I don't think it's happening. The Tressel thing was even more egregious. Like, really, you're going to suspend Tressel for He's like an analyst with the Colts. Okay.
I love that Tressel job. I remember the way it was explained to me is that Tressel was like in charge of like when to challenge stuff in instant replay. And I was like, I can do that. I've been doing that on my couch. Like, I'm all over that, man. Like, this is right. A job. Like, you know, I got to – Sundays, I'm there, man. That's one day a week. I'll tell you when to challenge.
The TV replay official is the easiest job in the world, I've said, because, like, these guys that are there – you have to be, like, a retired actual official to get the job. If not, I would apply because it's the easiest job in the world. On-field football officiating is hard as hell. Like, yeah. These are fast, violent men going at a very fast speed, and you have to make these decisions in real time. That's tough. Replay, in this day and age, even 20 years ago, it would have been an easy job. Now you've got, like, 50 different camera angles, high def, and you can slow it down to anything. It's just – it's the easiest thing in the world, yet they still screw it up a lot, Ben. Yeah. All right, before we move on to Ohio State specific stuff, like, do we feel like, just your opinion, do you feel like we're headed for at some point, could be the 2030s, some type of super league, or do you, like, even college football kind of breaking away, big time college football breaking away from like the Olympic sports and kind of having its own thing? Or do you think that's kind of,
yeah, I think something's inevitable. I think like it feels like we're there now, but I think it's probably more in the 10 to 20 year window. They're just going to keep putting in front of people ways to make more money. And at a certain point, if you're like, you know, this whole thing with like Duke's deal, Duke basketball with Amazon, where Duke's going to play some basketball games on Amazon that's outside of their ESPN agreement. You know, someone figured that out. And last year, people were trying to find a way for USC to play Notre Dame in Las Vegas and have Netflix do that game, because then USC wouldn't have it under their contract at home, so it wouldn't be part of the Big Ten deal. And Notre Dame, it's not a home game. So people are going to keep finding these like hacks to make money, and it's just going to continue to kind of chip away at old school college football. So, you know, there's going to be like a point in time where the Big Ten's like, you know, should Maryland be in the Big Ten? Should Purdue be in the Big Ten? Like, or Ohio State is going to go, we're bringing in most of the TV money. We want to keep one home game from our contract from the conference to sell, you know, outside of our, you know, there's going to be incremental kind of changes in what the conferences look like, what the TV deals look like. And, you know, it's going to change. Structure we've had, it was never optimized financially. And now that we've let all of the private equity people in, we have athletic directors who are really trying to like find every dollar. Over time, we're going to shed, I think you're right. Football's going to detach from the Olympic sports. I mean, there's no reason when like Stanford joins the ACC and it's mostly like a football thing that like, you know, all of their Olympic teams and their women's sports teams need to like play volleyball at Boston College and then Miami when they had a good thing on like the West Coast. Like these things, they don't make sense. And at some point, hopefully there's some type of maneuvering to get things to a better place. But I think football, you have all these people from the business community, private equity community, who are just, you know, rubbing their hands, trying to think of ways to optimize the setup, and we're not there, so it's gonna happen.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say I love your Moxon jersey in the background. Varsity Blues with one of my favorite scenes in cinema history is in Varsity Blues.
It's signed by Vanderbeek, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
awesome. Yeah, exactly. That's pretty cool. Man, I didn't even know you had it signed by him. That's awesome. All right, Ohio State. They lost a bunch of guys to the draft, and once again, they have the brutal schedule, and they are the betting favorites to win the national championship. When you look at this team, Ben, other than the schedule, do you have any like concerns when you look at this team, or is it like, man, they're locked and loaded again?
Yeah, I want to. You know, last year the defense obviously was so good. Katie McDonald, Sonny Styles, Arvell Reese, Caleb Downs. The middle of the field was like off limit. Teams could not run. There wasn't much going on. And I look at like the replacements, And it's like some of these guys, like is Peyton Pierce gonna really just stuff up the run at the level that we're gonna need him to? So I do have some concern that, I mean, obviously I think the defense is gonna take a step back. I think like Matt Patricia really showed a lot of game last year that I think if we were all polled a year ago how we felt about the Matt Patricia hire, I think most of us were not smitten with it. And a year from now, we're all kind of singing his praises, rightfully so. But, you know, it's the, like, we don't know. We're, you know, you never know. So the defense, like, I'm going to kind of – I think until the Texas game, we're going to have to kind of just – you know, hope that we're ready for prime time. And then offensively, one thing I'm kind of tuned into is just like red zone offense. You know, that's where we kind of ran into some trouble in some big games. And I have this like thought that they have concerns about tip balls with Julian Sain because he's not as tall. And they avoid the middle of the field when they get in tight. And I feel like defenses really were kind of aware of that and were really gumming up, you know, running the ball because, you know, the middle linebackers, the interior players weren't as concerned about over the middle passing. And I think we got into this situation where we tried Keenholz, you know, running the ball. We weren't comfortable with Julian, you know, whatever. And then we kind of settled on this like three or four tight end situation. So I think they kind of ran into a situation where they didn't have low hanging fruit for what they like to do in the red zone. And that kind of began to rear its head in some of the larger games. So I'm interested to see what they kind of cook up in the red zone against good teams when they got to have seven. I wouldn't mind seeing two halfbacks in the backfield. I've seen other teams do that because if you kind of look at the film last year, like people were just attacking Jackson or Donaldson, and we just didn't throw the ball over the line of scrimmage when we got in tight. And I think that was something that kind of compounded and starts with, like, if you look at where Sain's turnovers were last year, a lot of them were tip balls when he's throwing it over the middle. We had that Jeremiah Smith touchdown. He made a great catch at the goal line. That was a tip ball. And that was something that was just on my mind, was that they had a lack of comfort getting in close with Sain throwing it over the line of scrimmage, like in the middle of the field.
Yeah, Arthur Smith, I've heard from, you know, diehard Buckeye fans and Buckeye reporters. There are opinions on both sides of the ledger. I think we're going to be sitting here at this time next year saying Arthur Smith was a home run hire, but other people feel differently. How do you feel about Art Smith?
I do think it's going to go well. I think when you're an NFL head coach and then you come back to earth, you are often you've been humbled and you have the experience, and a college coordinator position is something like it, especially with the talent level. So I think we're going to see some more smash mouth football, which, you know, for some, like, that's exciting. I think when we had Mbuka, Tate and Jeremiah, like, it was like, let's just let it rip. And now you kind of look at, we have Jeremiah and, you know, Chris Henry's, we think, going to be a big presence, but is Innes, I think we all don't feel like Brandon Innes is going to continue the first round receiver trend. So we're, you know, the three man, three wide receiver kind of sets, I'm not sure we're going to roll as hard into them. So I do think we're going to be doing a lot of two tight end formations, and we'll be running the ball. So yeah, I think Bo Jackson's like geared up for a big year. I think West is going to have like probably a good year. They really kind of leaned into him over Donaldson and Peoples. They say Sain's going to run more. So yeah, I think it's going to be a good year. Like, let's convert in the red zone. Let's keep Jeremiah healthy. Let's develop Chris Henry Jr. The offensive line looks good. So I think generally, if you look at Ohio State football, our best years, because the talent has always remained pretty good, is when there's good alignment with the coordinators. If we think about like 4 or 5 years ago, when we lost to Oregon at home. We gave up all those points. Like, that was the and we, I think we fired or we demoted Kerry Combs after that game. Like, and then you go back to like when we lost to Clemson the first time in the playoff, when, you know, we were, you know, God, I can't even remember Tim, whatever. And
yeah, Beck Tim Warner. Yes.
So it, you go through the years and you go through the years where like we underachieved, you almost have a coordinator that you're like, oh, the disaster we had with that coordinator, the disaster we had with this coordinator. And if you, when we won the championship 2 years ago, Chip Kelly, Jim Knowles, good to go. You know, so I put a extreme significance on having going 2 for 2 on the coordinator front. And I think Patricia is locked in, and I feel optimistic Arthur Smith is going to, you know, that we're going to be 2 for 2 and we're going to have kind of the play calling we need to go far.
How long do you think Day's going to stay? If it's up to him.
if it's up to him, 7 more years.
That sounds good to me. I will take that. And it doesn't sound like he's going to – like he's talking about like 4 or 5 years down the road and stuff like that. He definitely wants to leave a legacy. He definitely wants to be the only coach other than Woody Hayes to win at least 2 national championships. I was always told he's definitely going to stay, if it's up to him, through RJ's high school career, which obviously will end after this year. But I don't get the – maybe if they win the title, he'd ride off into the sunset. I don't think so. I think despite all of the noise in college football, I think he loves his job overall. And I'm with – 7 years would be great. I'm gonna piggyback that. All right, let's get you out of here on this. Awful. I'm on your site every day, sometimes twice a day. You guys got a bunch of stuff up here right now. You know, Thierry Henry didn't like that. Landon Donovan calling France arrogant during the World Cup. You got former – USMNT manager Bob Radley weighing in. You got some Terry Bradshaw stuff. You got our guy Josh Pate saying NCAA is maybe beyond repair after Brendan Sorsby scandal. You guys do a great job at Awful Announcing. Plug your company, my man.
Yeah, so if you're just interested on like what's going on in sports media, whether it's like, you know, what's going on with Big Noon, when is our deal with Fox up, why the hell is our game on Peacock? Can I even go to my sports bar and get Peacock? Like, if you just find the topic of like how your sports are, you know, get to you and who's covering them and why is this person on this game? Why is Ohio State playing on Friday night? Like, who said what? Who's a homer? Like, you know, one thing we did this last year was we did the college football bias rankings where we asked our voters to tell us who are the most biased people in college football and on what conference are they biased for. Paul Feinbaum absolutely crushed it. But yeah, there were some interesting results there. But yeah, if you have interest in kind of like how you get your sports content and stuff like that and the contracts and so on, that you're a sicko. And we welcome you at Awful Announcing. We have a newsletter. You can find us on Twitter. But if you find that topic interesting, we're hitting that every day hard, usually about 20 to 30 articles a day. So come check us out.
Definitely. And let me ask, where was Desmond on that, the bias? Was he number 2? Because Desmond Howard is just so over the top.
He was like up there on the top 5. Like Clay Travis was up there for the SEC. Desmond was like around the, and we had a number, like it was like plus 71, like you for the Big Ten. Like we quantified it. It wasn't just like a number and you didn't know. So, but yeah, Desmond's up there and yeah, he'll be at game day for a bit.
I guess if it's just looking at just being a Big Ten homer, I guess he wouldn't be nearly on the level of Feinbaum. Even though Feinbaum loves Alabama, he sticks up for the SEC as a whole. Clay Travis is a Tennessee guy, but he sticks up for the SEC. Desmond is just full-on Michigan homer, doesn't care about anything else. He's embarrassing, but I know I'm saying that as an Ohio State guy, but I actually like Charles Woodson, even though he's a homer.
Yeah.
He just doesn't Desmond just says stupid things all the time. So it's different. It's not that I don't mind that a guy that won a Heisman Trophy playing for Michigan is a Michigan homer. What else would you expect? Charles Woodson absolutely is a Michigan homer as well, but I just think Charles Woodson does a much better job. nobody. Jake Butt is the one who is, and I know you know this. You guys have written about Jake Butt is. I don't know how long the Big Ten Network's gonna be able to keep him. Jake Butt is fantastic. Like, he's gonna be the next, I think, superstar college football announcer, along with Josh Pate. Pate doesn't want to do announcing though; he just wants to be a reporter. Ben, this was a lot of fun, man. Thank you for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Always here. Let's catch up soon.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks again to Ben Koo. And thanks to everybody for tuning in. We appreciate that very much. Everyone has a great rest of your day, and go Bucks.
Bucks. Fire, 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 fire.